We're heading over now to speak to Antonio Flores from Lawbird Legal Services. Good afternoon, Antonio. How are you? Oh, hello, Antonio.
Hi.
How are you, my friend? All right?
Very well, very well. Yourself?
I'm missing you because I remember the days when we used to do this in the studio together. And now,
you remember, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do too.
The good old days.
COVID-free.
What's it feeling like at the moment as far as solicitors go in? Are people deciding to move to Spain at the moment with all that's going on? What's your take on it?
Well, you know, I can speak obviously for our area.
Yeah.
But generally, Costa del Sol, it's busy. I mean, I'd say that, the pandemic, which I don't think we are any close to killing it.
No.
I think it's going to stay with us for a long time. And obviously, we've got someone who we know who's just passed away recently, young person. So I think it's going to stay among us for a long time. So a lot of people are now looking, if they can afford it, to go for larger properties.
Yeah.
You know, with garden and so on. So we're seeing a lot of villas being sold, townhouses, places where people can have a bit of a open space, you know.
Yeah, and is that mainly British or Spanish buyers or Russians or?
Well, from everywhere, a lot of Middle Eastern, British as well. They're obviously all looking to become residents. The ones who were not able to do so. The ones who've never been here before. Well, obviously for them it's not really an issue because they've never really wanted to become residents before, so for them it's all new, and therefore they adapt well to the new regulations for non-European Union travellers and investors. And then we've got the golden visa, which is still there.
Well, that's what we're talking
for everyone, but
I think you only have two of those if I carry on this right. It's that's what we're talking about today. There's been various recent court rulings that benefit the golden visa and investors. And you've got to have more than 50 euros, apparently.
Yes. That's a good start.
Yeah. Okay, what's the conditions then, Antonio?
Okay, well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people don't know, but anyone who bought after September 2013, would qualify, okay? So anyone who bought a property for over 500,000, obviously we need to qualify that. But, you know, anyone who bought after September can actually get a golden visa if they bought for more than 500,000.
Since 2013, yeah?
Correct.
September. Why that? Is that when the ruling was?
That's when the law was passed.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, of course, those days bought the properties and they didn't really need... British people didn't even know about golden visa because they didn't qualify for the law. So, but now it's the time for them to look at see if they can come in and become residents on the back of it. Now there's also other developments. So the laws haven't changed, but the court rulings have made those laws change. Okay, for example, now buyers can have an assortment of investments. It could be commercial or residential. It doesn't have to be one property. They can also buy shares of property. Okay, you can have, for example, one third of a property, and you can have one fourth of another property.
And that counts. That all goes in the bag. Yeah.
Yes, so long as it's 500. Now, before, land would qualify, but not the construction on it. The Supreme Court said that if you construct on land, then that also becomes acquisition for the purposes of the law. So that also qualifies. Okay.
But basically, you can make money out of it if you sell it, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, they said, well, you know, because the government was saying, well, you're actually building, you're not investing. Well, yeah, of course you're investing.
Yeah.
You know? But they said, well, then, but you're not acquiring anything. So...
Not until you sell it, no.
exactly. So it was a bit absurd.
Yeah.
You know? So luckily, the courts have... corrected that anomaly.
Yeah, because now, in some respects, if you're investing in the market... you've got it there on paper, not necessarily have you sold your shares, but you know, that's what the value is at the time. So it should be really on the. I suppose that's a good thing. They're changing it to really what the value is of the property, not what you can actually get out of the bank there and then.
Yeah, well, you know, specifically, a lot of people ask us whether they say, well, we bought the property in 2013 or 14, and the property's gone up now. Can we do a valuation? I said, well, it doesn't actually work that way. You know, you need to show that you paid for that property X, Y, Z, minimum 500.
All right, yeah.
So as to qualify. So it's not the value, the value of that property on a given day, but the how much you paid for it.
Yeah, because that value is going to go up and down, isn't it? You know, by the month even.
Yes, so. correct. Then, you know, we have also situations where, for example, specifically about British investors, if a couple, married couple, own a property, they don't qualify because then the law will see them as having half of 500, just because their marriage settlement is different than, for example, in Spain, where you have a community of assets.
Yeah.
And it's a joint investment. In the UK, Spain would see UK investors as having 50-50 each, okay?
Yeah.
So we've had clients who we've helped change that into one.
So they can change the property into one name? Yeah.
Into one name, and then they qualify. So the main or the owner would qualify as main applicant, and the spouse would qualify as a dependent.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so that's also been another way. And that's, you know, you can do it pretty cheaply because the taxes are 1% of the full value of the house. It's not like 7-8%.
Antonio, just before you move on, when this first came out, we was all thinking, you know, it's going to be rich Arabs coming over maybe from different parts of the world and rich people, you know, millionaires and so on. But actually, a lot of people can fall into this category, can't they? You know, if their property's got, you know, worth that amount of money and they've got other assets as well, maybe even, it's actually bringing a lot of people into this.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, when it came out, you know, I remember, you know, the sort of left parties were saying, well, you know, this is going to be a way to bring all the black money or all the mafia is going to come down here. And, you know, the classic, classic criticism of the rich and the affluent, and you know, then they realise that, well, you know, there aren't normal people who
there are anyway.
Whatever the reasons, you know, that they've managed to achieve to have a wealth of 500, and they want to come to Spain. So it's it's not that bad. It's families, and not necessarily from Russia or from some dubious Middle Eastern country. They come from Morocco, and now they come from the United Kingdom. You know, look at that. I mean, it's a way for people to, I mean, the threshold is high, admittedly. I think in Greece is 250,000 euros.
Yeah.
So it's more affordable.
Portugal, I think, is it 300 there? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Portugal depends on where you invest. So some areas, prime areas are 500, and then if you go like sort of secondary destinations, you buy, for example, countryside properties, then I think it's lower.
Yeah. Okay?
Which is actually quite good because it's a way to promote certain areas which other people which typically wouldn't attract investors, and that would have worked very well.
That'd be a great idea in Spain, wouldn't it? You know, if you go, you know, like some village somewhere in Granada, you know, and get people to move in. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you think about that, you know, how many places are well, Granada's not so bad, but if you go inland property close to, you know, Castilla is deserted.
Extremadura.
Extremadura is, you know, you can't see a person for miles, you know.
Yeah, I can afford a shed in Extremadura. But
and then there is another interesting one. The courts, actually, we won one of those rulings. The courts understand that if you invest through a company, then because the social security rules stipulate that when a family buys or a family has a business, they're all considered to be the same investor.
Yeah.
So, for example, they're all related by blood, in the first line, first grade, as they call it, between first and second grade. Okay.
Yeah.
So, parents, children, they are considered to be one. So, we've had cases where a family of five who do not qualify for 500. Say, for example, each one had 100. They all qualify as main investors. Now, they can themselves also bring their own families.
Mm.
So with a property owned by a company, you can bring 25 people, you know, with golden visas, which is a very interesting loophole, which has been created by the Madrid tribunals. So that's also an interesting aspect which we've been seeing. And, I mean, it's not changed the law, but the courts now are accepting this new system to qualify for golden visa through a company. So it won't be just one main applicant and the rest of the family. It can be as many applicants as, for example, you have brothers.
Yeah.
So
once you jump the hurdles and you've proven that you've got it, what happens next? Do you get a TIE or do you go straight to residencia?
Well, you know, once you don't get the TI, it's a different system.
Yeah.
You get a residency card, non-European Union residency card. You get it for 2 years. And then once that's elapsed, you get another one for 5 years and so on. Okay, yeah. So it's periods of 5 years after that.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, it's a different situation. It's more geared to people who don't want to live here permanently, but for people who want to just have an investment and be able to travel in and out of the European Union freely and unhindered. Now, of course, you can still qualify for residency if you don't have €500,000 property. Absolutely. You know, I'm not saying for a minute that you cannot do that. There's a new system, but that has certain requirements, and the main one is that you need to be at least 6 months in Spain. A lot of people are not interested in that, you know,
yeah.
Because they have different occupations back in their own country, so they can't spend 6 months. But anyone who wants to retire in Spain, the law is welcoming them. You know, they
yeah.
need to comply with certain criteria, but that's called the non-lucrative. So you know, the problem is United Kingdom Spanish consulates in the United Kingdom are in close to becoming completely incompetent in respect to processing these. You know, they're obviously are flooded with applications,
yeah.
and they just can't cope with them. So they just have opted for not responding to emails and not taking phone calls.
I've heard that. I've heard people say we've emailed, we've messaged, there's no response at all.
Disaster.
Yeah.
It's a disaster.
And
you know?
Is it because they? I mean, they surely foresaw this happening. You know, the desire for British people to move to Spain wasn't going to die with Brexit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just very strange. But again, I mean, it's just Brexit's put the spanner in the works with all of it, hasn't it, really, again?
Yeah.
And it's, I think there's still that desire for British people to live in Spain.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, but the thing is, you know, how many Spanish consulates are there in the UK? London, Manchester, Edinburgh?
I think there's one in Belfast, I think, yeah, as well.
Maybe Belfast, or maybe not sure, Birmingham. I don't think there's anything in Birmingham. But, you know, unfortunately, they're just not operative. They're not functioning. Not even at a minimum level, like any other Spanish consulate in the world is. So that's becoming a big problem for anyone who wants to become resident. So we know a lot of people who are just simply flying out to Spain and just staying here.
Yeah,
they're not bothering about the 3 month stay period, the maximum 3 months.
Well, that's okay until you get stopped by the police or something happens and.
Yeah, correct. Something can happen, you get into trouble, and then they can certainly take you to the police station, and they can give you a ticket, you know,
yeah.
so to speak. So
yeah.
It's a risk. It's a risk.
Are a lot of people taking up this offer of the 500,000 golden visa?
I'm sorry, so how many people are there?
Are there a lot of people in that category that you're coming across?
Yes, you know what is that? You know, a lot of people down in the Costa del Sol, obviously it's a destination for richer people.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, we are seeing a lot of that, you know. I mean, there is a percentage of the population in the world that, you know, can afford that. So
And Marbella is a place, of course.
Exactly.
If you were maybe in Rincon de la Victoria, it might be a different story completely.
Yeah, obviously it's less of a possibility, but, I mean, no, Spain has various destinations. I mean, Barcelona is very big with Golden Visa. Madrid, to a certain extent, with investors.
Yeah.
But you are seeing most of them are in the Alicante area. Mallorca, of course, Barcelona, very big, and then Costa del Sol. You know?
Okay.
So those are the destinations. More typically chosen by investors.
Anything else to add, Antonio? Before we bid you a fond farewell and get your details from you, sir.
Yes, you know what? There is a new ruling. There's two rulings have come out, which are very, very interesting. They're connected directly to COVID pandemic. And that's that the courts have ruled on various cases that business owners can actually claim for loss of revenue from their insurers. And the courts have now ruled twice, not an awful amount of money. I think it was one of them was 8,000, the other was 20,000. Still significant amounts of money.
Yeah, it's as if you need it, yeah.
Especially when they've been closed.
Yeah.
You know, but very interesting because what the companies were saying is that insurers were saying that these were unprecedented and not contemplated risks in the policy. They couldn't foresee this coming, and therefore this very exceptional risk should not be covered. The courts have said, well, COVID is no different from any other risk that prevents a business from running normally. They have said that COVID is not like the classic exemptions, war, civil unrest, you know, catastrophes. So that, you know, COVID itself hasn't produced the closure of businesses. It's the government. okay?
Mm.
The government has ordered shops to close
yeah.
for whatever the reason, and therefore, you know, that's the risk that should be covered. Now, what they say is that if the insurers consider themselves aggrieved by these rulings, they can still go to the government and try to claim the money from the government, but they do need to pay their insurance.
That could cripple the insurance industry, though, surely. You know, there's a lot of businesses out there. Yeah, that's interesting. Wow.
Well, you think about, you know, larger, you know, businesses, I mean, businesses that had to close typically are those in the, you know, the classic restaurants, bars, you know, you know, you're not looking at factories
yeah.
with hundreds or thousands of employees. You're looking at mostly, I mean, the largest one, could be discos, could be larger, you know, nightclubs and so on, who, you know, who do have very significant turnovers. But those in the hospitality business, I mean, hotels, think about hotels that have been closed, you know, those are very significant. Now, I don't know if, I haven't seen yet any ruling, but I've seen small, like, restaurants and bars, and they are successfully going through the courts and getting some money out of the insurance companies, which is this. And insurance companies, you know, they are loaded.
Yeah. Right?
Their model of business is very sound. I was reading that Catalan Occidente is sitting on a pot of 2.5 billion euros of own money.
Wow.
That's the money from premiums, which they've not used.
So, yeah, get the money out there and let some people get hold of it and build their businesses again.
Get 50% of that and just chuck it out to people.
If they're good in their bank account. I love it.
That's a lot of money to own as a company.
It is, so, yeah. It's nearly as much as what we have at TRE. But anyway.
TRE could buy them out.
Antonio, we're out of time. So if anybody wants to contact you and get some help legally in Spain, how can they do that?
They can call us on 952-861-890 or they can email us on info@lawbird.com.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, Antonio. And we'll speak again soon, my friend. You stay safe. And have you had a holiday yet?
No, it'll probably take the last week of August.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have been warned, everybody. Antonio is on holiday and he will be enjoying himself at the end of August. Anyway, thank you very much, Antonio.
It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.